Well, greetings and grace. Appreciate you being here for the podcast, 40 Days to Wholeness in Christ, a devotional journey. I'm your host, Paul Petit, alongside speaker, author, and minister, Signe Bodishbaugh, and we have embarked upon a journey to developing wholeness in Christ. That means tapping into all that God has for you, helping you find and live up to your God-given potential. And in this world, I tell you, we need all we can. Everything's swirling around us and a lot of questions going on. So if you want to go deeper in your walk and develop true intimacy with Christ for a richer, closer relationship, guess what? This podcast is for you. And our guide to all this is the book, The Journey to Wholeness in Christ, written by Signe Bodishbaugh and its accompanying journal. Yes, we're journaling as we go, so grab a pen, and we're going to be doing a lot of writing, or a pencil if you think you need to do a lot of erasing. Now, we'll tell you how to order a copy of the book in just a little bit here if you do not have one yet. We do encourage you to get one. Obviously, get the book so you have those side by side as you're walking through this journey with us. And not only have we been following each section of the book together up until now on this podcast, we've been doing it with the author herself. Signe, good to see you.
Hi, good to see you, Paul.
Here we go again, right?
Yeah, I'm ready. It's a journey, after all. We got to go somewhere.
It is a journey, you know. And I was thinking on the way over here, there's so much going on right now, and we want to know, you know, how are we to be? Do we need more information? Do we need to be doing this? Am I reading my Bible enough? You know, is this what God has for me? And what I love about the book and reading it is really this is what it's all about. You know, while that stuff's happening and it's going to happen around us, you know, all the political mumbo jumbo that happens, God's looking for one thing in us, and that is to be more like him. And this book really addresses that. And that's what I enjoy most about it.
Well, I hope so. It takes us away from the chaotic lives most of us live. We're bombarded with all kinds of information, too much information, I would say. Lots of voices in our ears telling us to believe this, believe that. And it's such a relief to get some tools to know how I can disengage from all that for just a little while and begin to just relax and listen to what God's saying to me.
Yeah, I hear you. And, you know, God's been telling me with the electronics when I'm with other people and we get so caught up into that, just put it aside. Now, obviously, you have to have an electronic to listen to the podcast, which is the sort of oxymoron here, but, you know, making it valuable and not just to pass the time. And we're so dulled into that life these days. And God's really, you know, at least with me, and I know many others that, you know, are reading this book, saying, hey, you know, I want a deeper walk. I want to know you. You know, we want to know him. He wants to know us more, too. He created us, and he wants that to walk on this journey with us.
I think we forget about that. We keep striving to know him better, to be what he wants us to be, but he wants us to know him. And that's what I want to talk with you about today, because he yearns to know us. He yearns for us to be whole more than we want to take our next breath. And when I first captured that thought, I was sort of undone, because definitely, I want to take my next breath. And he wants us to be whole even more than that.
Mm, yeah, absolutely. And you know, you brought up a key word there, tools. And today, we're going to be focusing on that. You know, it's our pre-journey instructions for you, I guess you could call it. You don't go on a trip without packing, right? You know, if you're going to the tropics, you got to bring a lot of shorts, your bathing suit. If you're going to go to Colorado in the fall or the winter, you got to make sure that you've got the right clothes there. So, you know, packing the right clothes is key. And obviously, if you're trying to fix something like a car or working on something, you have to have the right tools. And so let's talk about that a little bit, Signe. How important is preparation in all this, having the right tools just to embark on this 40-day journey?
I think the most important thing we can do to prepare is have a hungry heart to know him. Know that he loves you. And that may not sound like something you'd put in your suitcase to take on a trip, but it's vital. Have a hungry heart. If you go into this kind of journey with a skeptical heart or a negative heart, it's going to be harder for you to enjoy the trip. I'm not saying God can't penetrate that. He often does. But if you prepare yourself by saying, God, I really want to know you, and I'm going to trust this woman I maybe have never met, this man who's telling me about this, But I'm going to give it a shot. I just want to try to see if I can become more intimate with you during this period of time. And I believe he'll meet you more than halfway and really begin to let you enjoy and see fulfilled in your life the desires of your heart.
You know, you mentioned a hungry heart, and, you know, many of us have a scarred heart from the past. And one of the things I enjoy about the book, I guess you could use the word enjoy, is that people have been set free because of that. And a lot of what the book deals with is our past and how those scars have kept us from perhaps having a hungry heart or have created sort of an animosity, if you will, towards God, sort of a David shake the fist at, you know, how long, Lord? What's going on here? Why did this happen to me type thing? And we deal with that in this journey, and that is so vital to our walk.
We have to deal with it, and we can't get so upset at the beginning that, well, what if God brings me face to face with something I've tried my whole life to forget? I don't want to do that. That's not worth it to me. We're going to also give you the tools to know what to do with that junk that comes up, all that excess baggage. And for those of you who travel and pack way too much stuff that you never use, I'm going to tell you, when we go on this journey together, we all have excess baggage. We're all bringing stuff that's going to be far too heavy for us to carry. But that's why God goes with us, and the Holy Spirit is our true guide, because He's going to come alongside us. And when it just becomes too heavy for us, He's going to lift it off of us. It's not heavy for Him. It's heavy for us because we're burdened down by it. So if He brings something up, we're going to learn what to do with it. There's a place for that junk to go. We don't have to carry it around. And that's part of the freedom that we find on a journey to wholeness.
So if you're joining us on this journey, happen to be listening today, perfect timing. We haven't quite embarked on it yet. We got to know Signe, her background, why she wrote the book, what wholeness really is. And today, obviously, we're talking about the tools that you need for this journey. But then the next podcast, we're going to be going full steam ahead. So if you want to catch up, you can listen to the first podcast. But listen through today and kind of get an idea of really where we're going on this. Because again, if you want to go deeper with Christ, if you want that more intimacy that we're talking about and really a changed life, it's one thing to receive God, we get that change and our thinking's changed, but then we got to get rid of that junk. And I think Signe was just tapping into that. This helps you do that. This helps you go deeper. So let's talk about the journey. And you mentioned, you know, the packing. Some of us overpack, but we have to have a checklist for this. So what should be on that checklist?
Well, know that God loves you. Mm-hmm. Jesus is his son who gave his life for you. He's Lord of your life, and the Holy Spirit is working in your life. Those three things are essential for us to take this trip together, because we're going to be trusting Him to do some things maybe we've never trusted Him to before. And feel free just to enjoy what He shows you, to explore it, to go where He points the way. But the thing we're going to focus on today that I think is vital on a trip is taking a spiritual camera with you.
Yeah, what does that mean?
When you go on a trip, you want to have accurate recollections of what you encountered. For instance, if you go to Paris and you see the Eiffel Tower, how many of you are going to not take a picture of that?
Of course, yeah. Of course. There you are.
Bring them home. You got yourself standing in front of it, you know. Well, on this journey, we're going to do a spiritual camera by letting the Holy Spirit remind us through journaling what He is showing us, where He's taking us, new, exciting places maybe we've never been before. And we're going to learn how to record that in such a way that it will inspire us in days and weeks to come when we feel a little less excited about the trip, when we're tired, our feet hurt, our bodies are weary. But we need that oomph to keep us going. And often by going back and recalling those words He's spoken to our hearts that bring so much life and so much promise through our journaling, we can have that impetus to move ahead.
You know, you talk about journaling, and we did speak about the importance of journaling in our last podcast. If you haven't listened, that would be, I believe, episode 2. But why is journaling so vital to this 40-day journey?
There's a Hebrew word called Shema. The Shema is a set of prayers. You can read this in Deuteronomy 6, where it says, the Lord your God, and he is the Lord who wants to be Lord of your life. And it tells His attributes. And then it says, write these things on your heart and nail them to your doorposts and talk about them when you are walking around the neighborhood. They're that important. And the word Shema in Hebrew means to hear. Hear, O Lord, the Lord thy God is one. It also means to listen. And remember, in Hebrew, one Hebrew word can have multiple meanings all at the same time. Hear, listen, and the third part is obey. Hear, listen, and obey. So when God speaks a word to us, we hear with our ears, we take it into our hearts, and then we act on it. So it's threefold. And all of this is part of hearing God's word from the scripture, which is vital. That's number one. But also hearing God's word to us in those inner recesses of our being, when that intuitive knowing that he can bring when we're quiet and we get still before him. And there's a fourth definition of the word Shema, and that is publish. That means to speak it forth or write it down or share it with somebody. All of this is important too, so you don't forget, so you don't doubt, and so you don't disbelieve. The word Shema. And you can see why now that is such an important part of hearing God's word. Sometimes the Hebrew explanation for this is, why would you want to hear God if you weren't going to obey him? So hearing and obedience goes together. So you might think God is saying something to you and you can't possibly do that. There's no way. But then when you rely on him, journal it, let it marinate within you for a little while, he can empower you to do what you thought was impossible initially. Journaling is a good way to do that. Instead of just hearing a thought or an impression from God and say, well, I can't do that. That's too hard. And you just lose it. You lose the beauty and the holiness of that moment. But when you have it in your journal and you can go back to it and you can let him come and refresh that in your spirit, it's amazing what can happen over a little bit of period of time.
To give an example of journaling, would you say that what David did when he wrote down the Psalms or when Solomon did when he wrote down his songs, is that a form of journalism in a way back then?
I think absolutely it is. He must have written down the yearnings of his heart. David wrote down not just things he heard from God, but he wrote down his own questioning heart. He asked God a lot of questions.
He did, didn't he?
And when we speak to God, it's not all just, God, I want this, I need this, I love you. All that's important. But we're also asking God questions. Lord, why did this happen? Why am I feeling like this? Why did my friend do this to me? Why? We have lots of why questions. Those are an important part of journaling as well. One of the things I've always thought about dialogue with God, and that's what we're talking about, is a listening prayer journal is dialoguing with God. It's not just writing our stuff. It's being honest, sharing from our hearts, and then listening attentively to what he's saying instead of formulating what we're going to say next. Listen. And let those impressions then be a part of what you journal down and then respond to what he says to us. So it's bearing your heart, listening to his heart, and then responding. So it's a dance. It flows. It goes back and forth. And it's constantly moving. And it's really fun once you kind of get more comfortable with doing it.
It becomes a beautiful thing.
It really does. Yeah. An active, healthy dialogue has an energy and a passion to it that just monologue doesn't have. And a lot of our prayers, we have to be honest, a lot of our prayers are monologue. I grew up at a church where we would have the prayers of the congregation probably lasted 20 minutes. And, that's when I would draw as a little child, or I would fidget, and my mother would pinch
me. No, we didn't do that. We were avidly listening.
That's a monologue prayer.
Yes.
Prayer with God is always dialogue. He's always speaking the healing word to us. The problem is we're not always listening. But when we do tune in, oh my word, the whole relationship with God becomes so much more intimate. And let me say something about intimacy with God that I think is a misnomer today for a lot of people. Because our generation has changed the meaning of the word intimacy.
Yeah, it becomes a physical thing.
It has. Yeah. And one of the things we've enjoyed in our family for many, many years is the Webster's 1828 dictionary. And I was looking this morning.
Is this the original Webster's or something?
1828. Yeah, yeah, okay. 1828.
So it hasn't been modified through the decades.
It's the original one. And the one we have is a huge thing. And I was looking this morning and I found out you can get an app. This is on an app now. Cool. The Webster's 1828 dictionary. But the beauty about this is that when it was written, there was still a God-centered worldview. And today we have an ego-centered worldview. And it's so different. For instance, when you look up conversation as defined by Webster in 1828, it includes intimate fellowship. A few generations ago, intimacy was commonly defined as being with a familiar friend, entrusting one's thoughts to another without reserve, or loving entirely. Mm. And I love that definition, when you had a God-centered worldview. But today, conversation is often just prattle, you know, just sort of meaningless, in which we kind of half listen and we respond to keep the tempo going and keep the conversation alive. And most of the time, we're trying to already formulate what we're going to say next. It has nothing to do with being with a familiar friend where you're trusting yourself entirely without reserve. And that's what God wants us to have with Him. Like you say, today, intimacy, it has sexual connotations for the most part, mm-hmm. often outside of marriage. And sometimes we just need to ask God, redefine for me what you mean by this. Don't just go by what the world tells us. Lord, what do you mean by this? What do you want to do when I journal? It's not for the sake of keeping a beautiful journal. It's not for the sake of writing well. This is not a journalistic endeavor. This is an endeavor to be intimate with God, to enter into intimate dialogue with Him, to know His heart as He already knows your heart. And let me bring out one more thing. When we are in intimate dialogue with God, He shows us what's in our heart. We don't have to do all this self-examination stuff. It's not really introspection to dialogue. It's looking up and out to Him because we're listening to what He says about the situation. If we're just always looking in and all we see is darkness and chaos and confusion, but when we look up to Him, He's the God of order. He can bring order out of the most difficult situations in our lives.
And that's exactly what we're going to be doing. And, you know, if you're listening, you caught us at a perfect time. The next episode, we're going to be diving in to day one of these 40 days. Now, we're talking about journaling, and it's a listening journal. And I don't want to get too far off here, but this is such an important topic, Cigna, and that is hearing from God. And I was having this conversation with my teenage son. I told him to pray about it and tell me what God says. And he says, well, I didn't hear anything. And we really need to train ourselves to hear. And I think journaling helps that. And I've heard different teachings on hearing from God, you know, that sometimes He speaks an audible voice, sometimes He speaks through circumstances. And then there's that clear, soft voice, right? As well, that quiet voice in us. But basically, He could speak any way He wants. So when we're journaling, you know, how help us understand, what are we listening for? How do we hear?
Everybody hears differently. The way I hear from God is uniquely the way I've learned to interpret His language to me. And when God speaks, it's a language of the heart. Now, I don't know, a few people have heard audible voices from God. I never have. Have you?
Nope.
But my mother did one time, and it changed her life, and she wasn't even a believer. But I think that happens often. When God really wants to get your attention about something, He'll let you hear Him in an audible voice. I've never had that happen. And it took me a while to really understand the way He spoke to me. Primarily, mine is through deep impressions. The only way I can explain it is like a deep knowing that I know that I know that I know. And it makes no sense sometimes why I would know this and why I would feel it so strongly. But over time of practicing this and practicing his presence, the term Brother Lawrence coined that I think is beautiful, it takes some practice. We learned to recognize the way he speaks. I'm sure all of y'all have heard about how shepherds will take all their flocks of sheep and put them in one sheepfold at night frequently. And in the morning when they go to get their sheep, a shepherd will come out with a simple word or a song or a whistle or a sound or a flute or something. And those sheep who have spent so much time with their shepherd will recognize that sound as belonging to him. And they will come out from all the other sheep in the sheepfold and follow their shepherd up into the hills. The other sheep don't pay any attention to it. It's unfamiliar to them. They don't listen. That's the same way with us, with God. The more time we spend with him in that intimate dialogue, the more we're going to start recognizing what his voice sounds like to our ears. And when we do, it's the most beautiful music in the world.
Now, some people would say, and even I have in the past, that, you know, I was praying and then I had this thought. But is that my thought? Was that God's thought? And so I've said to people asking the same question, well, we know that if we're filled with God's spirit, that our spirit, right, identifies with his spirit. We're the sons of God. So is that necessarily my spirit or is that God speaking to me or is that just me thinking to myself? How do I differentiate?
Well, sometimes we don't know. That's when a prayer journal comes in handy.
Uh-huh.
Write it down. Because we're bombarded with the voices of the world, the flesh, and the devil. Now, we all know the voices of the world. Oh, my word. You turn on the TV. You look at your phone. I mean, you're bombarded with the voices sure. of the world. Those pretty much we can identify, although sometimes we kind of misinterpret that those might be my own voice. Anyway, that's a whole different lesson right there. But then we have the flesh, and the flesh is that unredeemed part of us, the wounded part of us, the part that cries out, oh, poor me, pitiful me, or the extreme, wonderful me, no one's greater than me, you know. It's one extreme or the other, but it's coming from my own flesh. It's that part of me that's not yet redeemed where I'm in sync with God's will for me. And we all have those parts in us, all of us, some more than others. And sometimes in our lives, it's greater than others. So the world, the flesh, and then we have an enemy. We hear the voice of the devil. Mm-hmm. There's evil in this world that would tend to accuse us, to speak lies to us, to tell us, maybe we've heard this through human beings, but it was the voice of Satan saying, you're no good, you're worthless, you're an idiot, you're stupid, all kinds of things. We're all going to hear amiss. We all are. We don't just all of a sudden say, I'm going to do a listening prayer journal and everything I hear is going to be the word of God. That's why write it down. Don't go tell everybody God said this. Somebody came to my husband and me in a prayer session one time and felt like God was telling her she was supposed to marry this certain man. And she just believed it. It was the most impassioned thing she'd ever heard in her life. Well, it turned out the man was married and had children, you know. But she was believing God had told her she was supposed to be this man's wife.
It sort of needs to line up with Scripture, right?
It's got to line up with Scripture.
Yeah.
You're going to hear amiss. That's why it's good to use the prayer journal. It's also good to have a trusted prayer partner. Let me tell you something we used to do with prayer partners back when we were very young Christians, is we would take a scripture, read it aloud, and then say, all right, let's be quiet for a couple of minutes and then share with each other what we believe God is saying to my heart about that scripture. And then we can listen to what one another says. And it's really kind of fun to do that.
So you really got to develop it. In other words, look at it as listening and hearing from God sort of as in his infancy, that you have to sort of develop this new part of the relationship for that intimacy. And that takes being quiet. Let's start there. Just being quiet before the Lord.
You know, that was the very first thing I ever heard God speak to my heart where I knew it was God, is he said, be still and know that I am God. Mm. Now, I knew that was a scripture. And I kept thinking, well, I'm just remembering a scripture. Okay, That's still God speaking to me. I remembered a scripture, be still and know that I am God. Every time I would sit down with my prayer journal, that's all I'd get. But I wrote it down every time I sat down to be quiet, and I had a whole page, be still and know that I am God. Well, I realized finally, duh, I didn't know how to be still. I was wanting to know God, and he said, be still and know that I am God. So I take a deep breath. I said, Lord, you're going to have to teach me how to be still first. I want to know you, but I have no idea how to be still. My mind was going 90 miles an hour. I had so much stuff going on, and it was cluttered. And that's another thing that he can help us with. Unclutter my mind and speak to my spirit.
And we're going to be doing all of this over the next 40 days. Now, you also talk about location. So in real estate, they coined a phrase emphasizing the most important thing in buying and selling aspect is location, location, location. You want your home, your business, is where it's located. And that's important for this too, as far as going on this journey. Unpack that for us, if you would.
Well, I think especially when we first get started, the location becomes important to us. It has to be a place where you're comfortable, as few distractions as possible. Even the location or the time of day, I think, is vital. Everybody's schedule is different. For me, early morning is my best time. For other people, they're just not morning people. Don't force it if it ain't going to work. Maybe after everybody goes to bed at night, you can have 10, 15 minutes of just quiet time before you go to bed. Make it work in your schedule. At times, if you have little children in the home, if you have lots of distractions, if you have something big going on, events, if it's around the holidays, don't get all upset because it's not going according to schedule. This is not something that we have to beat ourselves up about if we don't do it right. There is no right and wrong. It's doing it. I've had some of the most amazing quiet times with God when I least expected it. Sometimes driving the car. You know, for some of us.
Oh, yeah, driving's great.
Times I was just gonna in bring our that up. Life when yeah. That's the only time we get to be alone.
True.
When you can cry out loud, you know, oh, Lord, I'm so frustrated. What is going on? You know, and bear your soul out loud. That's a little maybe verbal journaling, but whatever he says to you, come back, come have a resting place for those thoughts, those impressions, those ideas, where you can write them down and keep them. That's the whole point of a listening prayer journal.
And I'm sure a lot of you are driving right now and you're hearing this and it's like, well, I can't journal and drive at the same time, but that's okay. That's the whole idea here is just to listen. And then when you get home and you have that time, they're able to get quiet, get away, get alone, perhaps either listen to it again, or the beauty of having the journal is the questions to each chapter that we go through on this 40-day journey are already written there. So you could sort of review and reflect what you were doing while you were in the car and then start journaling there. Or, you know, if God put something on your heart, just hit record on your iPhone and just start speaking and then, you know, write it down so you have something of record to see. And again, that's what we're going to be doing over these next 40 days. And also, in addition to that, is the pacing of it. A lot of people feel, well, 40 days, I've got to do this in 40 days. Obviously, the podcast is only once a week, but the whole idea there is it's a 40-day journey if you do it each single day, or it's a 40-week journey, or, you know, 40-month. We encourage you to do it quicker than that. But everybody's at their own pace because of life, right?
I've never met anybody who's done this in 40 days, actually.
Imagine. No. You'd have to be a monk, maybe, in a monastery somewhere.
I don't know. And you know, some of us, I guess, can be obsessive. We feel like we're obligated to do this in 40 days. And then you feel a rush of frustration and it defeats the whole purpose. No. I like to use the term, think Hebrew. Think Hebrew, not Greek. The Greeks would say, you have to do this in 40 days and you have to do so much every day or it's not going to work. The Hebrew mindset says 40 days is just symbolic. We talked about that in our first podcast, but it's just a period of time over which God accomplishes something with a promise at the end. That's the biblical explanation of 40 days, 40 years. There's always a purpose in the interim and a promise at the end.
And we can't wait for that promise either. That's what's going to be amazing about it. And so again, we encourage you to go on this journey with us, and you're at the perfect time if you happen to be listening. So, all right, God is the pilot here, a little scenario, Signa. And for the sake of conversation, I'm going to call you the lead flight attendant, right, leading us on this journey. So besides buckle up your seatbelts and make sure that your tray table's up and your seats are in their full and upright position and that you have your journal handy, what other pre-flight instructions, if you will, do you have for us on this 40-day journey?
I'm laughing because your lovely wife is a flight attendant, so it's a great analogy.
I know how it works. Yeah,
yeah, I've you know exactly before, right? How it works. If there is turbulence along the way, and often there is, and that can be very frightening and you tense up, some of the turbulence we might encounter would be sin in our lives that comes up, either our own sin or sin someone has committed against us. Negativity can bring turbulence. Thoughts and attitudes that just we can't get rid of, resentments, that can bring real turbulence when we try to hear God's voice. And along the way, as your flight attendant, I'm going to encourage you to give that turbulence to the Lord. And I'm going to help you learn how to do it because it's not nearly as difficult as we make it. There are ways and to give all that to Him, and there's a place for it to go. It doesn't belong in us whirling around, recycling, even increasing, coming up at the most inopportune moments, just when we're about to go to sleep on the plane and the whole thing shakes and shudders, you know. That can be very disruptive. It can bring fear, and it can make us just want to get off the journey. There's a place for that stuff to go. We're going to talk about what that place is and how to put that stuff in its proper place. And when we do that, it doesn't leave us empty, because anytime we give all our inner turbulence to the Lord, He exchanges it for something He wants us to have. He fills us up with something of value, something that enhances the real person in each one of us. So we're going to do some of that too.
We're going to do it. Buckle up. Well, I feel led before we close today. I want you to pray, Signa, if you would, for those who say, you know what, I'm going to do this. Or maybe, you know, I said a prayer as a teenager to receive the Lord, and, you know, I really haven't followed along with that. I want things to be different. Anybody who might be listening saying, I want to change things, I'm going to go deeper. So I'd like to pray before we close. And is there anything that we're leaving out on this sort of pre-journey preparation, if you will?
To prepare us for this journey and the dialogue with God that I'm anticipating we all enjoy, I want to ask you a question. Who was your dialogical partner when you were a child? In other words, who was the person you could bear your thoughts with, who would listen to you, who would respond, and then you'd respond to them? If you had such a person as a child, it's going to be much easier for you to be able to trust God's voice and dialogue with Him. But for some of us, we didn't have anybody like that. We never had anyone we could just be totally honest with. That's an important thing to realize, that you may be coming into this practice of hearing God's voice and responding to Him with a deficit in your life. And if that's true, tell Him. I don't have that. I have no basis. I have no foundation for what you're talking about, but I want to. Then you might ask yourself, do you have a dialogical partner today? Is there someone you can talk with like that way today? If so, give thanks for them. So let me pray for you right now. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray for each person at the sound of my voice who is interested in the slightest bit about pursuing this journey. And I pray that you will inspire them deep down in their soul. You will give them a hope where they've had no hope. And for those who have that deficit of never having meaningful dialogue with another person, I pray that you will just breathe into them that spark of encouragement and hope that you can be that one. Maybe for the first time in their life, you could be that one who can listen to their inner heart, who can meet the demands of all this frustration. You alone, Lord. So come Holy Spirit into each one. We're just believing in you and trusting in you to take us to that place where we know we can be the real person you created each one of us to be. Thank you, Lord, and we thank you in advance for the destination and for all the adventures along the way. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. And get ready for that adventure. That is our time for today. Appreciate you being here as always. 40 Days to Wholeness in Christ. And of course, we appreciate you for embarking on this devotional journey with us. It is life-changing. If you maybe went on a 40-day journey to lose weight or this or that, you know, a lot of those are temporary. This could be permanent. This could be a real life changer. It has for thousands who've read the book. Now, remember, you can order the book, Cigna's book, the journal that goes along with it, by going to cignabodishpod.com. And there you can also message us, and you can find her on Facebook as well. We do want to create a dialogue to find out how your journey is going. And the next podcast, we're going to be launching right into it. Now, if you find this podcast benefits you, please share it with your friends and family, or maybe you want to go on a journey with a spouse or a friend or a loved one and do it together. Share the podcast with them and get the book, follow along, and the journal, and write along. And our next podcast, it all starts, as I mentioned, day one of the 40-day journey. So let's go deeper with God. Let's become the person He designed us to be. The 40-day journey is a game changer and a life changer, I promise you. So for Cigna Bodishbaugh and Paul Petit, on the journey to wholeness together.